Hey everyone, it's Ben from Startup Chats. Hope you're all doing really, really well. I've got Maria Birch with me today, and she is from Sneak a Peek. And they are basically a pregnancy private scanning company, I guess that's how you describe it. But Maria, why don't you sort of tell us a bit about the business, and then we'll sort of dive in a bit more about the journey and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, sure. So we're very new. We only opened in December. So yeah, in the infancy of the business. But my background is as an NHS sonographer. Having a private pregnancy clinic on the side has always been a dream of mine, really. And in the last couple of years, we've been getting the ball rolling. And we finally scanned our first client in December 2019. So, and here we are, yeah.
Fantastic. So just, so your background was obviously, what was the technical word for your background? Obviously you're working in the NHS, were you doing all this type of thing, scans and all the rest of it before?
Yes, yeah, so I qualified as a radiographer.
Yeah.
I was doing x-rays, CT scans, that kind of thing.
And okay, so a real mixture.
Real mixture. Then I specialised in ultrasound. And so probably for the last 7-8 years, I've been doing purely ultrasound on pregnant ladies, as well as, you know, adults that aren't pregnant, children, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. I always remember when we got our boys scanned before, you know, obviously they were born. And yeah, it was just incredible. It was just, yeah, pretty magical time, actually. It's all very sort of new and exciting. You don't really know what on earth is going on, and you just sort of, you know, you go on this journey, you've got no idea what to expect, and it's just, yeah, it's really exciting, and it's amazing when you do see that scan for the first time. It's pretty incredible. So what got to you, you know, I mean, obviously leaving the NHS, good secure job, radiographer, well paid. What made you sort of take that leap to go, you know what, I'm gonna do it myself?
A mixture of things, really. One being so many patients at the hospital said that they were having private scans and they were having to travel sort of 100-mile round trip extra and back to get a private scan. We did have a lady here in North Devon until she retired several years ago. So for a while, there's been a big gap in the market. So that was one reason, but also, you know, the NHS is amazing for its purpose, but I was finding that the pressure's on in terms of throughput, so I wasn't getting that quality time with the patients that I really enjoy. Ultimately, I love building up a bond, a nice rapport with the patients, and, you know, showing them every little bit of baby, and that's sometimes not the luxury you get in the NHS with its pressures.
Yeah, so, I can imagine it's the numbers, it's that pressure. I can imagine that.
It is, exactly. And you've kind of got your checklist of things you need to go through. And then it's sort of boom, onto the next lady. So, yeah, I think the private side of things is a lovely, it's a lovely balance, because, yes, we still check the health of baby and we do all those well-being checks and safety from a health and safety aspect, but also you get that time to really talk the parents through, the children can come along, grandparents, aunties, uncles. I mean, it's a bit different now because we're in, you know, with this pandemic, it's changed our services ever so slightly, but in a normal time you'd have the whole family along, and it's just a really lovely sort of, yeah, can be a lovely family affair, or it can be a really intimate, you know, just mum and dad there to enjoy the time, yeah, really, and yeah, you know, a bit more of an explanation, and yeah.
I mean, that just sounds amazing. I mean, to be honest with you, I wish I, you know, had the opportunity to do something like that when, you know, when we had our two boys. But yeah, just to be able to have that, I guess, yeah, intimacy and talk more about it and understand more in that time, rather than, you know, you're in a queue almost, that, you know, off you go, thanks very much, it's a boy, we can't see, or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
I was going to ask, when you decided to take that leap, and I think a lot of the audience who, you know, are interested in sort of startups and how to go about doing it and what to do, that first step, what were the sort of first sort of I guess, thoughts, processes, steps that you took to begin that journey. Were you still sort of, did you leave the NHS and then start it completely from scratch? Were you doing a lot of planning and strategy and all that sort of stuff before you made that leap?
Yeah, a lot of planning and strategy, and I still haven't made the leap completely. I'm still sort of half and half. I'm on maternity leave at the moment from the NHS. So in terms of timing, it's worked out really well because I've got that little bit of extra time to put into the private side. Yeah. But I am still an NHS employee and fully intend to, you know, carry on with that and just have a bit of a balance. But yeah, there was a long, long planning stage while I was still full-time at the hospital. The first thing was finance and, you know, sorting that out in terms of, you know, buying a machine. That was the biggest barrier. And that took a long, long time to, you know, to sort out. And then finding suitable premises, getting them to sort of the way that they needed to be. I had a really clear vision of how I wanted the clinic to look and feel. Yeah, so it probably was a good two years before we signed paperwork to say, yeah, that machine, the machine's yours, kind of thing.
And was that the I guess that's the critical bit, isn't it? Because, you know, although you might know a lot of, I guess, professional expertise, ultimately you needed the bit of kit to be able to do the job. Just in the way, I don't know, if you're just going to start up a manufacturing business, you need, you know, the machines or whatever to do the thing. So once you've got the big kit and, you know, you're ready to go and you've got the, you know, you got your clinic and everything set up, what were the sort of next steps that you took?
So the next step then was kind of getting the word out there that we existed. Yeah, created a very, very basic website and used sort of good old Google ads just to try and get some awareness that we were there. Facebook page, still heavily relying on sort of word of mouth because, you know, people talk, pregnant ladies especially talk and, you know, share experiences. So it was, yeah, that they were the kind of first thoughts. And just, we had sort of like pre-launch kind of campaign going on via email, little sign-up list, so that the potential clients sort of lived through the journey in the first few months with us, because we had the machine for a good few months before we were kind of ready to go. So it was quite nice. They were able to sort of share with us that journey and we were able to keep them updated as to how we were getting on when we'd be opening our doors, basically.
That's really interesting because I think that's the area I'm really fascinated in, is that pre-launch phase, and the area I'm sort of want to sort of dive into a bit more, because I think a lot of people start a business and they don't necessarily think about that pre-launch phase, other than the practicality maybe, where, I don't know, they need a bit of kit or they need an office or they need this. I think what's really interesting is thinking about the importance of starting to the marketing before you're ready to go, to not just open your doors to the world and then there'd be a tumbleweed moment to go, okay, now I need to find people. So can we sort of dive into that a bit more? So, you know, specifically, you know, you obviously got everything set up first, and yeah. I guess this is interesting because much in the same way, even if you're building like an app, you know, on the App Store, you'd probably get it all designed and developed and working, just like you've got your, you know, piece of kit. Mm-hmm. But then you might want to do some marketing before you actually have an official launch. And that's pretty much what you did.
Yes.
So how did you sort of engage with that audience? What was, I mean, obviously the audience was pregnant women, obviously, yes, probably a certain age. And how did you sort of go about sort of targeting them and thinking about them? Was it organic? Was it, you know, sort of more strategy around it?
It was fairly organic to start with. We put the feelers out there in terms of who would be interested in a free scan initially, because the machine was, although same manufacturer as what I'm used to at the hospital. It was a slightly different machine. So I needed to feel confident and comfortable using it before I was happy to charge for a service. So the first step was really sort of saying, right, we've got this machine, I'm gonna be starting to scan. Who would like to be my guinea pigs, I suppose, for a want of a better term. Yeah. So we had a full day where the application specialist from the manufacturer came and spent time doing some scans, and that was a really good way of sort of putting the feelers out there for interest, you know, to start with.
Fantastic. And it's a great way to almost get that to get that validation, to, you know, to get those first few people in, get their feedback. Get used to, you know, get used to using the machine or the tool or whatever you're developing and building. Iron out all those bugs, I guess, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, one of the main services that we offer are like 3D and 4D scans, something that we don't do at the NHS. So it was very much like, a learning process for me as well at that time.
Yeah.
Obviously the tricky thing though was ladies pregnant only for a short period of time, although it probably doesn't feel that short to a lot of women, but the time was ticking in terms of, there were ladies that were saying, I really would like a scan, but, you know, for several of them, by the time we were open, it, you know, that ship had sailed and baby was here. But these things take time, don't they? And we got there in the end. But
definitely. And how many, did you have like an idea in how many people you wanted to get through to try out, to almost test on and, you know, beta test on and get their feedback? Did you have a number in mind, or was it just until you felt comfortable, or until a certain date, or how did you sort of shape
until
that?
I felt comfortable, really, was the main thing. I knew I had the application specialist with me for the day. So we had, I think, 8, allowing sort of an hour for every. And that was amazing. Like I felt, you know, went from feeling super, super nervous the first one. And then by the end of the day, I felt really confident and happy, happy with the decision we've made in terms of purchasing a machine, because that's a massive risk.
Yes.
But as I say, it was a similar machine to what we use at hospital, so I was relatively confident, but it's in a different environment. It was just very different to what I was used to.
Fantastic. And just again, just thinking a little bit, with the decision to start any business, there's the validation phase of, you know, does my product or my service, you know, is there a market for it? Can I do it? What's the feedback? And that's obviously getting those people in early was part of that process. But before you even, you know, spent out on the cash and thinking of this as an idea, how did you sort of, I guess, validate that there is a market for this? Because I think a lot of people maybe start businesses without doing that validation phase and thinking, you know, I'm just going to do this. Now, sometimes, to be honest with you, you know, if it's an industry that's been around for donkeys, there probably is the validation in the sense that people use those services with other people already. But when it's maybe, I guess in your case, you know, why come to you rather than just go to the NHS and it's free? You know, are there other people doing it? You know, what was sort of thinking and validation, thinking there is an opportunity here? How did you go about thinking about that?
So there are large sort of national franchises of private ultrasound companies, that specialise in pregnant women, pregnant scans, but we haven't got one locally. So scanning at the hospital, I'd be speaking to ladies that I was scanning, they'd be saying, oh, we went to Exeter, we had an early gender scan, or we had an early pregnancy scan, but it's such a shame there's nothing here locally. So I suppose that was an element of it. There was also the fact that there did used to be a private clinic here in North Devon, and just purely through the lady retiring, that created a bit of a gap. I was fortunate enough that she was a colleague and a friend, so we were able to kind of talk through numbers and
Fantastic. You're almost like a mentor.
Absolutely. So that was really good. They were the two main things in terms of validation.
So that's interesting. So when you were working, you started, you know, having these conversations with people, and they were sort of saying, I wish there was something more local, I wish I could have another better scan or more, you know, in depth or 3D or whatever it is, or had a child to extern, I wish there was something, yes. you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. So I guess, was that the moment when things started again, tick, 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 tick?
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Things like gender reveal parties are now huge. I guess it's like another one of those things that's come over from America, really. We were being asked at the hospital, oh, can you write the gender of our baby down in an envelope because we're going to have a gender reveal party for all our family. And then, you know, with the red tape of NHS and, you know, understandably, we did do that for a short while and then we weren't allowed to do that anymore. So I was thinking, oh, well, you know, that's going to be another reason why somebody might decide to pay for a scan as opposed to just sticking with the normal NHS routine scans that are available.
Yeah, and so, you know, yeah. At the end of the day, it's a really special moment, isn't it? And like you said, it's actually a relatively short time. And, yeah. You know, for the sake of, you know, whatever it costs, it's, you know, it's probably worth every single penny. So I can imagine it, yeah, how those sort of parties can sort of evolve. I never even heard of them, to be honest with you, but I guess it's those sort of things that sort of come over from the States or wherever. I think they started, you know, they're having like, you know, parties for, you know, leaving college, leaving school and all the rest of it. And they, you know, now it's parties for all sorts, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Any excuse.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So moving forward now, obviously you've launched, and you've gone, I guess, into more of a post-launch phase in terms of marketing and what have you. How is that looking for you at the moment?
Yeah. So at the moment, we're learning as we go along in terms of what services families are wanting. One thing that was really apparent to us when we started was that our competitors offer such a wide range of services that it was overwhelming. Even for myself as a sonographer, you know, it's what I do, it's my bread and butter. And I was, you know, thinking, oh, I don't know if I'd know what to book. So that was a massive thing for us, was to want to keep it simple in terms of what services we offer. So we've kept it very basic, sort of early scans to gender scans to 4D later on, and just those three key services, which was working or is working really well. But we are learning as time goes on that really what people want is an individualized kind of service. So that's what we're kind of looking at the moment, is how we can have the best of both worlds in keeping it simple in terms of, you know, making sure that people know what they're booking and what they're paying for, but also we don't want to be that kind of, you know, oh, just order, you know, order a pizza kind of a service, because it needs to be individualized to what that family wants and what they are hoping from their experience. So that's where we are.
And I guess that, like you sort of touched on, a lot of the competitors are really overcomplicating things, even for somebody in the industry. So, you know, God knows how those people who just Joe blogs public, you know, you would have a clue probably what they're talking about. So I think to some extent, definitely sounds as though people need to be guided by you know, the expert, in a simple way, because, you know, none of us, you know, who aren't in that sector would know, you know, half of what you're talking about. I mean, 3D, 4D, yes, we get that. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that's probably where that individual service, that almost a recommendation, you know, what do I need almost? Okay, well, this is what, you know, some people like to do, and this is what you can do. This is, you know, it's almost giving them ideas with a conversation, possibly, rather than a huge list of things, shopping lists on a website, maybe. I don't know, but.
Yeah, absolutely. We've started like an application process, which I think, because it's so different to what our competitors do, that it's tricky, because you don't want to put people off booking with us. But it was important, I think, that we felt we were allowing customers to sort of choose, understand what they were booking, and not just, you know, clicking away and thinking, right, let's book this, and thinking, when's the best time for me to have a 3D, 4D? Because, you know, most people wouldn't know, and why would they, kind of thing. So we've been doing like an application process, so I can then go kind of look through the application, see what they want from the scan, and then, like you say, make a recommendation of when to have the scan, what kind of scan to have, and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, so. Fantastic. And I think it's really exciting, actually, innovating, because even though obviously scanning's been around for years and years, and there is definitely that tendency, I think, whenever, you know, you know somebody opens up a new business for the first time, it's just to copy what everyone else is doing. Because it's almost like, oh, well, there's a template to follow and I'll just do what they're doing. But the fact that you're actually innovating and ultimately, this is what's critical. I think it's really important for the audience to think about is, what does your audience want? Do they understand all the intricacies of my product? Probably not if it's complex. So how can I understand their pain points or what they need help with, and how can I deliver that in the best way? So I think the fact that you're trying to innovate differently to your competitors is fantastic. So I'd love to see a bit more about that at some point in the future. But is that out at the moment, or is that something you're working on to be released?
Yeah, that's out at the moment. That's what we've kind of been doing since we ended up just closing in lockdown, and then gradually introduced our services. So then we were just doing reassurance scans, and then now we are doing our full range of services again. So that's what we've reintroduced. It's amazing how something like lockdown makes you like reevaluate what you're doing. So it was sort of from that point that we thought, right, well let's try this, and it seems to be working really well.
Fantastic. You're right, it is really interesting how these crises sort of can help you almost reset and take a step back and just reevaluate and actually improve things ultimately. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And yeah, I mean, of course, being in the sector where it's very hands-on, literally you are hands-on, you know, the mum with a bump. Yeah. How did you manage that challenge with COVID?
Yeah, it was very tricky to start with. One of the main benefits of having a private scan is that you can bring your family members with you. Mm. But with social distancing, when we restarted after the sort of the peak of lockdown, just doing reassurance scans, we were saying, well, we'll happily scan you, but come alone. And that was hard because that was one of the main perks of having a private scan in the first place. Obviously wearing masks. As time's gone on, we've now introduced partners one other person being allowed to come to the clinic, because that's kind of all our little scan room will allow in being able to keep distance. Obviously, I can't really socially distance with the pregnant lady herself because I have to scan her. But, you know, PPE, masks, gloves, good hand hygiene, and being just really trusting of your clients that if they've had any symptoms, to let us know and be transparent about that and, you know, work around it. And
so just in much of the same way as, you know, dentists and doctors are working and all the rest of it.
Exactly. That's it. So yeah, it's a bit of a change, but it's still a nice experience, I hope.
Definitely. And I guess that's the practicalities of working out how to, you know, fulfill operations within a business. I mean, every business is going to have different sort of operational challenges in this current climate. With just going back to this old marketing efforts, what sort of channels did you focus on when you were doing your sort of pre-launch strategy? How did you start bringing in those sort of testers?
What we started by doing was telling the story, really, of look, here we are. We're I'm a local sonographer. We recognise the gap locally, and then went from there in terms of who would be interested. Just putting the feelers out there.
Was that on socials or was that on paid advertising on Google or Facebook?
Yeah, paid advertising on Google and through Facebook as well. I mean. We've kind of let the Facebook page slide a little bit in recent times, but Google Ads is kind of more the channels we're using at the moment.
Fantastic. Yeah. And email, did you have to sort of start building up an email list and things like that?
We did. We had an email list, people to sign up to, and then we were able to update them that way. And that seemed to be our best way of reaching out to people.
So you had quite a good engagement rate on the emails.
We did. Yeah, we're really fortunate that we had a lot of engagement. So, and ongoing now, that seems to be our best kind of channel to communicate.
Fantastic. So that's interesting. So even now, it's still looking as though that's the right channel to be sort of pushing, sort of, yes. Sort of Google Ads, emails, communicating that yes. way and engaging. And have the socials, have they, I guess the question is that because the focus has just been on those two channels? Have you sort of explored other channels, or is it just sort of time issues, management and the practicalities?
Yeah, exactly. Time and the practicalities. We kind of try and put all our main announcements on socials as much as we can, just because there are obviously there's, you can't reach everybody through one channel, can you? That's the thing. But we our main announcements will be on Facebook as well, but mainly the emails really. And we intend to set up an Instagram and a Twitter, but we just haven't got around to that yet.
That's the ultimate challenge, isn't it? All these sort of channels that you got to try and communicate on. It's definitely challenging. But having said that, it's one of those that you just ultimately got to think is where's your audience? And
absolutely,
you know. If they're on just one channel, then that's the place that you need to be. But if, you know, I mean, the likelihood is pregnant mums will be on Instagram and Facebook as well. Absolutely. So, that's the other challenge. But how are you finding the competition in terms of, obviously now you're the only clinic in North Devon. Obviously there's clinics further afield, Exeter, I'd imagine, and maybe Plymouth and Bristol and what have you. Do you find the local sort of, pull is now just people then are just coming to you, whereas they would have travelled. Are you sort of able to pull from further afield even?
Yeah, the majority are locals here from North Devon. We've had a few holidaymakers even while they've been staying down here. We have had a few from the Exeter direction, and that was really interesting. So speaking to them, just out of curiosity said, oh, what made you kind of come to us? And they just really liked the idea of a local more personal, I think, experience. As wonderful as these big franchises are, I think the supporting local really appeals to a lot of people. So they were happy to travel and visit some of the beautiful spots we've got here locally. Mm. So our geography, I suppose, was a bit of a pull in that respect. They made a day out of it. Mm. And that's something we really need to explore a bit more, because our marketing is very much targeted to North Devon.
I was going to say it's interesting, because I think if you're competing against a big, I guess, are they a national franchise?
They are. Yeah.
So I'd imagine. I mean, I want to know who I don't know who they are or what their branding is like, but what off the bat, I'll probably guess it's probably relatively bland, I'd guess. It's quite, I might be wrong and you can correct me, but I think one thing that you guys could definitely play on is the story, your story. Yes. And unless that big competitor has got a compelling story, I think what you'll find is if you really push on that story, whatever that story is, you know, I mean, the story should just be about you guys, really, ultimately, that it will really, really drive traction and engagement. And people like to know what's behind the business, I think. And, you know, and why they want to, you know, it's all this decision-making of, you know, why do I buy from you as opposed to somebody else? And if there's a really compelling story that they feel attracted to, and you know, they're always going to go to that in that direction, and clearly that these people down at Exeter, they just like that more bespoke, more, you know, your story, I guess. And I think storytelling is, I mean, you touched on it, you know, earlier, but I think storytelling is often missed by a lot of businesses, and I think that's a game where pre-launch is a critical phase to think about a business's branding. And, you know, who are they? Who are you? What's your story? Why, you know, if you're opening up another, I don't know, whatever, you know, sweet shop, an estate agency, another, you know, you create another online offering, what makes you different? What's your story? And I think that could be something that's worth possibly exploring and diving deeper into for you guys.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, something to think about there.
definitely. Yes, absolutely.
And so I think sorry, Maria, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that in terms of the scanning part of our business, it's me. I've had one friend and colleague from the hospital help me out for a short while I was at the very beginning of my maternity leave. But really, if they book a scan, they know it's nice to know who you're getting as well as what services. So
definitely. Personal brand. Well, you'd have to push your personal brand, Maria. It's true though, people buy people, you know, that's businesses often, you know, has been like that for years and years and years. So it's just a sort of a different way to do it possibly. But it's interesting, isn't it?
It is really interesting. Yeah.
So what sort of direction do you want to take? Have you thought about the future? How you want to sort of develop the business? Is it to sort of keep it just nice and bespoke and very, you know, sort of small and organic, or have you got any other thoughts or any ideas?
That's interesting you should ask. We're looking into setting up like a support club for pregnant women, and then kind of pulling in different professionals to provide the pregnant ladies whether they've just signed up to our email list or whether they've bought a scan with us, create like a community really. So that's kind of the next step that I think something that again was kind of brought on by lockdown was that, you know, antenatal classes were cancelled, or they were just, you know, on Zoom.
I think that's a phenomenal idea. I really do. Be that one place that people know they can come to and have that community. There's a reason why Facebook groups has been pushed hard by Facebook. The community matters. And there's lots you can do. There's lots, you can bring in other professionals, you can have, online training or events or groups, whatever it is, as well as maybe even, real world ones when it's easier. But who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's something that's really exciting, and see where that goes.
Amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to see how that develops for you guys.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, Maria, any sort of I'd like to sort of wrap it up, I think, just the give you the opportunity to maybe share some, little pointers for anyone who's thinking about starting their own business, that things that maybe you've learned, any tips that you could give anyone who's thinking about starting their own business?
I think the main thing would be not to get too bogged down with timing of things. I think that was my biggest barrier mentally, was just getting started because it was never the right time, or, I'll wait for this, or I'll wait for that. But really, my advice would be just, grab the bull by the horns and just sort of crack on, because it works, these things work themselves out. And, I fell pregnant right at the point when I was starting to sort of seek finance at the very beginning. And that nearly stopped me. That nearly made me put the brakes on it and go, right, this isn't the right time. But actually, it's panned out really well.
Fantastic.
For the rest of my life, I could have been going, I'll do that next year or whatever. So yeah, that would be my main bit of advice.
Never a perfect time to do anything, let alone start a business. I remember one of my very good friends, he said it's never the right time to get married, it's never the right time to have children, there's never the right time to do this, it's never, you just got to do it. Just do it, because the last thing you want to do is have regrets and think, what if?
Absolutely.
It's just, never ever have regrets and just start.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Maria, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And also for sharing about your story. It's fantastic. I'm so chuffed for you guys. I think it's going to be a huge, huge success. So definitely, if anyone listening, obviously, definitely check out Sneak a Peek. Mm-hmm. You'll find them on Google and on their socials and all the rest of it. If you're obviously looking to get a scan as well, of course, get in touch with Maria. But otherwise, don't forget to give us a 5-star review. That would be amazing. And obviously share with all your podcast friends and family and all the rest of it. But for now, take care, guys. And Maria, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. All right. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.